ladies and gentlemen. It's Mr. FSP. Sorry for that long, long intro, but we had a couple of technical difficulties. We've got your host with the most of No Chase and Mac Williams on the line. Unfortunately, I had an issue I had to deal with, so we started a little late today. But Mac, you ready to do your show?
Yeah. Is the Shaq not on it?
No. No, he's not.
Yeah, I think it's
so, is he...
No, I'm going to have to call him. I'm on my hope to
text me. Hey, text me his number, and I can call him on the switchboard. So just text me his number. But, ladies and gentlemen, on today's show, Mr. Williams will have a legend in street ball, a guy that has won, I believe it's a one-on-one competition with worldwide competitors on multiple occasions. He goes by the name of Baby Shaq. But I can't give him a proper intro. Matt can. So, Matt, tell us a little bit more about this young man that you took under your wing and I guess groomed him in the world of professional sports and being a young man.
Well, Shaq is hold on. Finishing up my text. All right. Shaq is a DC legend. First, let me say thanks to everybody for tuning in. Sorry about the late start. We are No Chase is sponsored by Trinity Web Solutions, and so go to trinitywebsolutions.org if you're looking for websites, domain names, whatever. Go to Trinity Web. He is a DC legend. He used to play formerly for N1 for years, for about 7 years or so. Basically, he played in the King of the Rock the last couple of years. He didn't win it this year. Last year, but he lost, but he won two back-to-back, clearing about $30,000. And he played for them, and he won it two years in a row, which is a contest of about 60 or so players. When you play regionally in each state, each place, and then you all ended up, the winners from each place all over the world end up coming to one place, which is Alcatraz in California. And there they play on the property of outside on the where the courts and everything are outside on Alcatraz property, and they play for white. That's pretty much what he does. He plays at the Goodman every year. He's about 6'3", 240 pounds, and he plays like a guard, like a very big guard. I'm waiting on him to call back in and see what he calls in. Hold on, please. I'm going to text you something.
Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, just be clear. The young man is a gifted athlete. From what I've been told, he's taking on guys that are, you know, taller than him, supposedly better than him, and he used strategy over physicality in order to win those King of the Rock tournaments. I remember on one of the shows that Matt had talked about, or had him on, he spoke about how guys were shooting jumpers and things like that because they couldn't get in to the bucket, and or they were always driving in and stuff like that, and all he would do is just shoot jumpers, and they would pretty much be uncontested because guys wouldn't step out to guard, basically because they were afraid that they might get blown past and, you know, for the easy layup. So that was one strategy that I believe he used to win one of those tournaments. Now, when it comes to the Goodman League, which is located in Washington, D.C., in the Anacostia area, during the summertime to play. But where is this where you actually met the young man and, I guess, brought him under your wing? Yeah, I was told a little bit more than yeah, but okay.
I can't hear you. You sound muffled.
Hold on. All right, I put you on speakerphone.
Okay.
I was saying you met this young man at the Goodman League in Anacostia, part of D.C.
Actually, I met you during his days in Air One, before he was, before I even started working or going to the Goodman. I met him when he was, I want to say, 25 years old. He was playing for Air One, and we would see each other every summer. You know, when the Goodman came down, I would talk to him, and he'd give me tickets to get in and stuff like that, and we have a good time. And then I started to get to know him besides AM1. Yeah, I would, you know, go to his house, go to birthday party for his daughter. We would hang out. And then we just, you know, became friends from there. So, you know, it just went from there to being friends. So, I don't think he's going to call him. I know him too well.
Well, that's why we're going to call him. I'm doing that now to need you to talk a little bit about Charles' history while I make the phone call. And next time
you
hear me.
Yeah, you need to call quick because he's like, I don't know what he's doing.
I got it. I just need you to talk a little bit while I bring him on, okay?
All right.
All right. There we go.
Yeah, me and you have known each other for a long time. Right now he's currently playing for Ball Up, which is a street ball basketball team that goes around the country during the summer and plays in different cities, things like that. He's got sort of the same cast with him, which is the professor. Some of the people that were with him at AM1 are on this team now. So they play with him also. He's a native of D.C. He doesn't live in D.C. anymore now. He lives out in Hagerstown, Maryland. But he's playing now for a team called the Capital City Express. Played their home games at IDEA Charter School in D.C. So if you guys ever want to see Jack play home games, that's where we play at. That's where he plays at. Those games are usually on Saturday night around 7:30, usually 7 or 7:30. But it's Capital City Express is a team that it belongs to a league called the APBL, and that is based out of New York. So Shaq's been playing in the APBL probably for, I would have to say, probably about 3 or 4 years. He's been playing there. In the off season, when he's not with AM, when he wasn't with AM, when he was playing, and when he's not on tour, he plays there also. So,
I think you're right, Matt. I guess the young man doesn't recognize the number, so
probably
no one picked up.
It doesn't matter. But anyway. The Field of Time, I guess we'll talk about something else. For those who are anticipating having Shaq come on, you know, I apologize for him not being here. I just know him too well, and I know he was probably waiting, and he waited, and he waited, and he probably said, forget it. So it's okay. Schedule him another time to do it. Anyway.
Well, I apologize. I do apologize because I was trying to run and get it done, and it didn't happen.
I know. What I was going to say is right now, I'm going to talk, I guess I'll talk some sports. Right now what's going on, what's happening is, huh? Hello?
I'm here. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. We're going to talk about some sports and what's going on right now. What's going on right now is, for one, we have this boxing thing going on with Floyd Mayweather, where he is using the internet to decide who his next opponent is. It's between Marcos Maidana and it's between Amir Khan. So that's pretty interesting. Great marketing, though, obviously, because the place that he's using it for has got a lot of hits now because of it. Say that whoever ends up fighting Floyd Mayweather, either one is going to get beaten pretty good. I'd probably say probably the one who gives him the most challenge, if anybody, would probably be Amir Khan. And that would only be because of the hand speed. That would only be because of the that would be the only thing I would give him. But the problem with him is that he has a glass chin. So that won't happen.
Well, Matt, let me ask you a question. You know, the Amir Khan deal is something that, you know, people have been talking about for a very, very long time. And every time, you know, Floyd committed to, okay, well, if he wins this fight and I win my fight, we're going to fight, Khan loses. So, you know, every time Floyd says, okay, well, I'll fight Khan, or Khan's lined up to get ready to fight for something, let's say, a title or a big fight. So he has to win the previous fight before he gets that big fight. I know it's happened one time already with Floyd. Khan loses. He got upset or whatever the case may be. That's the knock that I'm hearing on this guy. Because when Floyd announced a while ago that his next fight would be Khan.
Please enter your passcode, then press pound.
What's that about? All right. I guess we lost. Our host. Maybe he'll call back in. Maybe not. We'll see what happens. But I was getting in on the conversation about how Khan has been, I guess, favorite to win a fight, and he's lined up to fight the next big guy or get the big payday. Something happens, and I know that. When the announcement came from Floyd that he wanted to fight Khan or Khan was the next opponent, you know, people were like, really? Why is this guy getting an opportunity when he keeps failing just before the big fight? And that's the knock I've been hearing about Khan. And the fact that the buying power of America, yeah, Floyd makes things interesting. Floyd makes people want to buy his fights just because of who he is. However, the I guess novice or not the everyday boxing fan probably doesn't want to see him fight any of these guys, mainly because it's not the one they want, which is Pac-Man, Manny Pacquiao. But what do you have, or what do you know about this thing I'm talking about with Amir Khan, that he folds just before the big fight that he's supposed to have? If you know what I'm talking about. Do you have any idea what I'm talking about?
No, I mean, I have the only thing I know about Amir Khan is Amir Khan has, you know, lost a couple fights that he shouldn't have lost. Well, he lost a couple fights. I shouldn't say he shouldn't have lost. As far as the fight between him and Floyd, I mean, he runs around and says he had to fight a long time ago. We have the contract and all this and all that. And, you know, I don't know why everybody insists on trying to force a fight with Mayweather. You know, whenever there's a rumored opponent, the opponent always goes out saying, yeah, we got to fight Nate, this, this, that, and this fight. You know, you got to, I mean, where Floyd is in a unique position because he's the boss. He's the guy who decides when he's going to fight, when he's not going to fight, what have you. He's his own promoter. As far as Khan, I mean, I think he presents, like I said, he's not going to beat Floyd, but he presents the most challenge. As far as him folding, I mean, I know that Amir Khan has a glass chin, I know that, and I know that once he's hit, he gets hurt, he's done. I predicted that if Floyd fights Amir Khan, I believe he's going to end up knocking Khan out. Now, a lot of people don't believe that because they say, well, you know, Khan, they say Floyd doesn't have knockout power. And I keep trying to tell people, I was like, yeah, okay, but remember, this is only it's about three fights removed from him knocking Ortiz out with a two-punch combination after he took his head and headbutted. So Floyd has the power, but no, he's not known as a knockout puncher because he's a boxer. But the one thing I know is that Floyd is a very accurate puncher, and if he hits him in the right places, he's going to hit his chin. He's going to knock him out. That's just what I believe. Now, do I think Khan's going to stand toe to toe with Floyd? No, he'll dance around. He'll try to hit Floyd with flurry. But I think what Khan's going to do is try to flurry, you know, right before the end, thinking that he's going to do it. But what Khan isn't banking on is that most judges at ringside know what Khan is and they know what Floyd is. And the pity pats and the little flurries aren't going to win a fight. You're not going to take it away from a guy like Floyd just by just flurrying. You would have to convincingly beat him. And so, you know, people think it's a joke because people don't really look at Khan as a threat. I think the fight that will make the most money, actually, I think, is between him and Maidana. And that is because Maidana beat Adrian Broner and knocked him down for the first time in his career, knocked him down twice. So I think that's going to be more of an intriguing fight. I think that will make money because there's too many storylines. One is he beat Floyd, quote-unquote, little brother. And so this would be looked at as maybe a revenge fight. Maidana, you know, and people would think that Maidana could beat Floyd because he beat the guy who tries to imitate Floyd's style and beat him. So, I mean, I think it's going to make a lot more money if he fights Maidana. As far as the Manny Pacquiao fight, I don't think that's ever going to happen. I keep trying to tell people, I just don't think it's ever going to happen. I think, and this is just my take on it based on the conversation I had with his father and something else, is that basically, and this is just me. Nobody said this to me, but I think that, how should I say it? I think Floyd is pissed because I think he feels like we tried to make the fight, you didn't want it. When we said the blood and we told you to do all that, you said no. I came back to you again a few years later and offered you $40 million. You said no, 50-50. So now I kind of feel like Floyd feels like, you know what, I've gone out of my way twice to try to make this fight, and yet you didn't want to do it. So now that you're in, and I mean, it's the truth, he says it, now that he's in trouble, money-wise or what have you, which I don't know if it's true or not. I mean, I do know he has IRS tax problems in his country and things, they froze his assets. But I'm saying that now it's now Floyd, now, you know, Pacquiao is campaigning for the fight and wants a fight, and I think Floyd just feels like, you know what, I'm going to make you wait. And when I feel like, if I feel like it, I will. If I don't, I won't. And I don't need you for my legacy. And I really believe that Floyd feels like he doesn't need Pacquiao. And he doesn't. I mean, honestly, he doesn't. If Floyd announced today he's retired, I mean, he would still go down as you know, one of the best fighters of his generation. You know, for me, I just feel like he's punishing Pacquiao. I just think he's punishing. I think he's just being like, you know what, I'm not giving you nothing. And since I came to you twice and you're making it like I'm ducking you and scared, you keep running around saying stuff, no, I'm not giving you nothing. And, you know, I just think that's, you know, that's the nature of the business. Do I think it'll ever happen between, because you know, after this fight and the fight in September, there are only two more fights left in his career, and he's done. After this contract, when he does these next year will be his last year fight. That'll be it. And then he says he's out. But he'll retire if he wins all his fights, it'll be 49 and up. Do I think he'll go out 49 and 0? No, I think he'd do a nice round 50. But then again, he may not. So as I said, that's my take on the whole fight thing, you know. And I don't know. I mean, we'll see what happens, but I don't think that fight will ever happen. But I will say this, if it does happen, though, and you mark my words, and I've told a lot of people this, if it does happen, if the fight does happen, he's going to be Pacquiao easier than everybody, than anybody thought, anybody. He's going to beat Pacquiao good. And when I say good, I'm not saying knock him out, but I'm saying he's going to beat Pacquiao so easy, people are going to never give him the credit for it anyway. I've told his father, period. In line, I've told his father I wouldn't fight him. Because it does no good. Because, see, everybody's clamoring for it. But if he fights him and he beats him, guess what everybody's going to say? He should have fought him three or four years ago. He fought him when he wasn't in his prime. He beat him when he was damaged good. What's that? He knocked him out. He was no good. Well, you know, this is the same guy who beat Oscar De La Hoya, and now De La Hoya, and then all the people, when he was talking to Canelo, he starts saying, you know, I was washed up when he beat me. Come on, man, really? Really? You was washed up? Like, really? But you fought the dude. Like, somebody stuck a gun in your head and fought it. So what I'm saying to you is there's a lot of excuses going around, but I'm just telling you, you mark my words, if that fight ever happens, he's going to beat Pacquiao, and I'm going to literally laugh because he's going to beat him so easy. It's going to be funny. It's going to be comical. I'm going to tell you, people are going to be so pissed, and they're going to get taken for their money. Because I'm telling you, it's easier than you thought. All I tell everybody is this. Go watch the Marquez Mayweather fight. Same height, same weight. The same guy that gives Pacquiao problems and knocks him out is the same guy that Floyd Mayweather fought and beat him easily. You can't train height. You can't train reach. You can't train it. He has the same advantage over Pacquiao he's going to have. And I'm telling you, he's going to beat Pacquiao easier than people think. And that's my prediction. I know it's going to happen. Because I sit and watch that fight maybe once every 6 months. I just sit back and watch that fight, and I'm just like, there's no way in the hell Pacquiao's going to beat Mayweather. You got to get close to beat him. You got to get a man to stand in front of you. And Pacquiao can't have problems with guys that move. You know, he has problems with guys that move. He's not a guy who's going to stand there and just, you know, if you come toe-to-toe at him like he just had his last fight with Brandon Rios came straight to him. So, of course, Pacquiao looks good. If you stand in front of Pacquiao, you're going to get your head knocked off. If you stand there and go toe-to-toe with him, unless you're heavy enough, I mean, to each his own. But to me, I hope, honestly, I hope the fight happens. There's part of me that hopes the fight happens, and there's part of me that doesn't hope it happens. Because it's a no-win situation. If he fights him and he beats him, which he will, then it'll be an excuse. If he doesn't fight him and does, then it'll always be he was always scared and ducking, which, you know, either way you can't win. So it doesn't matter. I wouldn't fight you that, me myself.
Matt, so. All right. I listen to you. And you know what? You make some valid points. You do. But I'm going to revert back to something that Too Sweet said two Thursdays ago. Whether you
climb in that ring and lose or win, it's about fighting that guy across from you just to prove who's better. Now, true, you know, that Pat has a very similar skill set as Marquez, and Marquez did knock him out the last time. And there were some controversial wins, or a controversial win, that Pacquiao got over Marquez. But I say this, that put all the haters and the doubters to sleep. You knock Pac-Man out. You actually slug with him and put him to rest, because even if Pac-Man does hit him back, which he will, Floyd is as fast as advertised, but if he puts power behind a lot of those fast punches and puts away Pacquiao, then there is no question, in my opinion. This is just me. Again, I'm the casual, you know, I'll look at a big fight, but I'm not going to look at a fight on Showtime or a fight on HBO type fan. So I think if you have Pac-Man in the ring with Floyd, and it's like the grudge match of the year, whatever the case may be, they slug it out, and Floyd puts him to sleep. That puts to rest, in my opinion, that puts to rest any type of conversation, whether he's older, younger, whatever. Because for me, I'm saying Floyd's older too. Floyd didn't get younger.
I can give you all the differences as to why Floyd, like I said, I know the reasons why Floyd is as good as he is even at 36 years old. And most of it, I can tell you what it is. Number one is it's diet. He doesn't smoke. He doesn't drink. He parties, but he doesn't drink and doesn't smoke. The other thing that people don't understand is he's the first boxer that I know of, that is always in boxing shape. He never takes days off. He's always in the gym at all times of the day and night. He's always in the gym training, always. He never stops training. Most boxers train, like you said, they train only when they have a fight. When they don't have a fight, they let themselves go, they get back in shape, and they do it that way. He doesn't. He stays sharp because he's always training. What I'm saying to you is I agree with what you're saying from a boxer standpoint, but I guess the part of it is where you're saying is that part of the problem is, I'm going to tell you this, part of the problem is this, Nick. Part of the problem is he's been doing it for 18 years. And most people, who sit and say things about Floyd and say that Pacquiao can beat him, the people who say, I want to see you play Pacquiao, I think Pacquiao is better than you, you need to prove it, this and this and that, I can guarantee you most of the people who say that have not seen every fight of Floyd. You go through the 18 years worth of fights. You go through the 46 fights, 45 or 46, I can't remember. Anyway, go through all 40 some of those fights. If you go through all of them and look at all the opponents, where they were ranked, who they were, how many were belt holders, how many champions did beat, if you go through that, you would have no question. You wouldn't need Pacquiao. That's why I said, for me, I don't need Pacquiao. Because I was watching him when he started. But what I'm saying is that I've gone back on YouTube and watched the fight. I watched all 45 or 46 of them, all of them. And when you go look at those fights, there's no doubt he'll be Pacquiao. What I'm saying is I don't need to see him fight Pacquiao because I've already seen him beat Pacquiao. And what I mean by that is people say styles make fights, and I'm like, yeah. But in 17 years, if you haven't fought every style there possibly is, you ain't fighting. And when you can't be a 13-time world champion and not have faced every kind of fighter, southpaw, you know, right hand, taller, shorter, fatter, bigger, stronger. If you go through all of Floyd's fights, and I tell anybody, go on YouTube, find number one, do all the way from 42, 46, and you come out of that and you tell me he got to fight Pacquiao. He don't have to fight Pacquiao to prove it. Really, he don't. Because when you look at it, you go like, well, God damn it. Because to be honest with you, the toughest fight I think Floyd had when looking at all his fights was Chop Chop Corley. Chop Chop Corley was a guy that here out of here in D.C. And that dude gave him, I mean, that guy hit him with some wallop. I mean, and Floyd stood and took them. I mean, he stood toe-to-toe with this guy who was taller than him and stronger than him and beat him. So I guess what I'm trying to say is the problem with most of the fans now, right now, that are saying that, are mostly fans who have not seen all of Floyd's fights. So, see, they think it's 46 fights, and he just fought a bunch of 10-can bums, and just recently, in the 2000s, oh, yeah, now he just started fighting good fights. And I'm like, no, he was fighting good fighters when he was 22 years old, 21 years old. He beat Genaro Hernandez, who was a perennial multi-year champion, and took the belt up off of him. Diego Corrales, the late Diego Corrales, who was a champion at that time and was undefeated, and whooped him good, and was knocking everybody out and whooped him good. So what I'm saying to you is I'm not saying that I understand fans who want to see it, but the fans who really want to see that fight have not seen the other 45 or 46 fights. You've only seen a few. You haven't seen the ones when he's 19, 20 years old. If you saw the ones when he's 19, 20 years old and you watched his career all the way up to now, you would realize he doesn't need Pacquiao. He really doesn't. Because when you go through his record and all the champions and the belt and the people he beat and you saw what they were doing before they got to Floyd, they were beating people. These weren't, this ain't like, I'll give you a perfect example. This is not like Canelo. Canelo was in Mexico. Canelo was 43-0 when he fought Floyd. But we don't know what those other 43 was. And we know that Mexicans are notorious for fighting a bunch of 10-can bums in Mexico and beating people, pumping up their record. Then they get over here, and they look like they're doing something. You kind of get what I'm saying? But they're not beating people over here that we know. They're beating people over there that we don't know nothing about. So their records when they come over here, it looks great. But we don't know who those people are. So what I'm saying is, go back, and I tell anybody this, go back on YouTube and go look at his 40-some fights. And then you come back and tell me that dude needs Pacquiao, he'll need Pacquiao. He already fought Pacquiao 2 or 3 times over already. And when I saw what he did to Marquez, then I knew. When I saw him fight Marquez, after all the fights I saw, and then I saw him fight Marquez, I was like, ain't no way. I said Pacquiao ain't got a ghost of a chance. I said Pacquiao looked like he can, and he looked good. But you tell me this, and this is what I'll ask all the people who say that. Name me one fighter that you've seen Pacquiao fight that has the hand speed, the footwork, the ability to not get hit, and stands in front and doesn't stand toe to toe with him, and he beats him. Can't tell me one. Every guy that Pacquiao's beat is the guy who stood in front of him and boxed him and fought him straight up. Those are the people who got beat up. But if you hit him and you move and you have hand speed and you move, and he has hand speed, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that Pacquiao is a bum, not by a long shot. Pacquiao is a gifted, very gifted fighter. He'll go down as one of the top all time. But he can't beat Floyd, man. Floyd is just too patient, too quick. His footwork is ridiculous. The thing that keeps him Floyd upright and it keeps him he's not going to get beat, is because Floyd's whole plan is to hit and not get hit. And his footwork is impeccable. He knows how to get out the way. He knows how to hit you from angles where he takes less risk. And that's the difference. And that's why a lot of people don't like Floyd, because they say, oh, he runs, he does this, he does that. And when people say that, you know me, Vic, I go back to, okay, well, if that's the case, then you might as well say Muhammad Ali was a runner. You might as well say Sugar Ray Leonard was a runner. But Sugar Ray was notorious for hitting you with runs and getting out the way, and had the hand speed, and had great footwork. So, you know, myself, man, I agree with you that I agree where fans want to see that fight, and if it were up to me, I'd probably give them that fight if it was anything I could do or get, like I'm saying, if I was in the business or something like that. But if you look at all the fights Floyd did, you'll look at it and go, like, well, we don't need that dude. We don't need him. You know, he don't. Right now, y'all got to understand, and people got to understand also is that, and it's one of the things that kind of frustrates me about boxing fans is, they always act like it's some kind of crime you know, what Floyd, but what people don't understand is Floyd is trying to make the fights that are going to make the highest gross, the highest amount of money with the less, with the least amount of risk. And he knows he's 36. And he's not slow, or he's not, like, slow by any means, or he's been damaged or anything like that. He's taking care of himself, and he can fight that way. But what people don't understand is that, and Floyd kind of woke everybody up with this. There's a video on YouTube where he's talking about, before you judge me, judge everybody else, because he was saying that everybody in the fight game is doing all the same thing he's doing. You try to get the most money for the least amount of risk. So that's why you pick people that will give you a challenge, but you know you can kind of beat them, but you're trying to get money. And I just think at the end of his career, he has 4 fights left, and I just think Floyd is just going to take his time and say, you know what, I'm going to make as much money as I can on my way out the door, get this money, and then I'm going to be done. And I don't think he's going to take crazy risks. Now, do I think that Pacquiao could be one of those 4 fights? Probably. But, you know, you never know. But go back. I'm serious, Vic. I'm telling you. And I'm not saying, I know you can't do it all. You can't do it all in one day unless you just skim. But I'm just telling you, go take your time and just, you know, it took me about 3 months. And I saw all this. I went over the fights again just to see them. And some of them I had forgotten about. And I was just like, and I'm sitting there going like, this dude fought some heat. Like, this dude fought some, like, and most of the time it was guys bigger than him. And I was just like, this is crazy. I mean, he wasn't even as big as he is now. And I'm just like, man, this is insane. And when you go back and look at him, and I would tell you, go look at him, and then come back and tell me he needs backing. He don't. Because when you look at the record, he knows what he's fought everybody. He's fought a lot of people. He's won a lot of belts. And, you know, to the people who are out here saying that, you know, this guy's scared of this guy and this guy cares, scared of that guy, I say one thing. You can't be in the fight game and be scared. I just don't think your whole life can be fighting and you're actually looking at a person and go, I'm really scared to fight this guy. I mean, I just don't think you can be in the business of boxing and be scared of somebody. You know,
hey,
I just don't. I don't believe it.
I got two questions for you.
Yeah.
Because you brought up a couple good things, and I didn't want to interrupt you, so I let you finish.
Go ahead.
And I hopefully I don't backtrack too much. But the first one, and I don't care your answer, but the first one is, do you attribute his skill development to his uncle, Roger, who's been in his corner for quite some time and as of late has not been there in the main spotlight, but I've seen him train him in the gym and stuff like that. That's one question. And then the other question is taking risks. This guy takes risks. He put $10 million on the Broncos. He put $100,000 on, I think it was Johnny Manziel and the Texas A&M football team to cover a spread. This guy takes risk. And, you know, I'm looking at possible opponents for his last upcoming fights, right? And that's one thing that Daryl Too Sweet Cooley was saying, that he doesn't like the boxers that are promoters now because they're cherry-picking to get the max amount of money with the least amount of risk, which is a smart business deal. But you brought up Sugar Ray, how Sugar Ray fought. And, you know, and this goes to the question. When Sugar Ray fought Duran, he made Duran quit because of his style. You know, Hager didn't take – he's like, screw you. Hearn was the same way. He was like, yeah, I'm going to knock your head off. Is he that type of boxer where he'll take that risk and fight those types of guys, or is he just going to, you know, coast out, in your opinion?
So you're asking me – ask that question one more time.
Okay. The last question is, what type of boxer do you see Floyd as? In the mold of Sugar Ray that does run and hit some of that, but he took on, you know, the heavy hitters at all times, you know, even though everybody wanted to see the fights. Hagler, Hearns, all those guys in Duran.
Right.
And the other part is about Roger. Do you believe his development as a boxer over the past 18 years is solely attributed to his uncle,
Sorry about that. I'm a little tired.
how
do you see that?
I think his development as a boxer and what you see before you now is a combination of both people, his father and his uncle. I think the professional part of it, was more Roger, but at the same time, I would say that the offensive part of it is both. The defensive part of it, but I just think it's hard because I've seen Floyd work out and I've seen him in training at his gym, and I just think it's just a combination of both of it. I just think you can't lose with both of his. Well, with his father and his uncle, you can't lose with either one. You just can't. I mean, the father knows how to train him, and he started him, so I got to give credit to him. Roger took over when his father was not here, and through all the turmoil that they had, but his father was there, and he's trained him. And like I said, what I think the finished product you see now is, 17 years of his father and his uncle. So I don't attribute anybody with more. I attribute them both equally, I think, because I've seen both of them, and they're both, I mean, Roger is like an encyclopedia. That guy, I mean, I sat for 40 minutes with him and my wife, and he was talking to us about this big picture in there with all the champions on it. And this guy remembers everything. I mean, he remembers this. He'll tell you how a guy got knocked out, what time of the fight he got knocked out, the minutes and everything, and you're just like, are you serious? Like, you seriously remember this stuff? And he just knows this stuff. So you can tell he's very technical. But his father is very technical also. So, defensively, I give more credit to his father than to Roger because, when Roger stepped back and his father stepped in, he got more defensive after the Cotto fight. Because the Cotto fight, he took a lot of punishment that he shouldn't have took. And that's why a lot of people thought after the Cotto fight, they would think, Floyd's slowing up and Floyd's not doing this and that. And it wasn't that. Floyd went away from the defense and he went away from movement. And he stood toe-to-toe with Cotto too long and too much. And when his father came back and got him to start moving again and punching, then it got better. Then he went back to old Floyd. So I attribute that to him. As far as your other question, I think your other question was...
The style of fighter is in comparison to Leonard and the 80s fighters.
What style of fighters have you fought like a Sugar Ray Leonard?
No. Meaning, because you brought up, his style of hitting and running and stuff, Sugar Ray. So something Darrell said was, Leonard went in there, he fought Haggard, even though odds were against him. He fought Hearns, and, even though he was supposed to beat Hearns, so on and so forth. So
but that,
what type of fighter do you see him as?
What type of old school fighter do I see Floyd as?
Yes, exactly.
I see him. To be honest with you, I'm not being funny. I would say his style is closer to
hello. Matt. Oh, man. I see you on my board, but I cannot hear you. Oh, my goodness. Are you serious? Well, ladies and gentlemen, we got about 10 minutes left of live here. Hopefully, I can get Mac back on. I'm about to mute him, see if I can bring him back in. But let's see if we can get Mac back on the line. Mac, are you there, Mac? Wow, kind of blows. I really wanted to know the style of fighter that, Mag actually sees Floyd as. Because when you look at boxing from the 80s, through now, boxers have changed. Of course, boxers have gotten faster, leaner. Genetics has changed over the period of time, over the 30-year period. but a fighter is a fighter. And I really can't place a combination or an individual in the 80s that would fit Floyd Mayweather. I like the comparison to Ray Leonard. You know, I like that comparison. But I don't know if – okay, let me put it this way. Mac, you there? Still can't hear you. I'll say this. Just like when Leonard Fort Hagler, the Frenchman, you know, Hagler was – he was known as a mangler. He was – look, I was about to destroy you. I was going there and punch the crap out of you until you stop. So I'll put him in the set of Pacquiao, so-called Pacquiao Hagler. You know, he didn't care too much for Ray's antics in the ring or his style of boxing, but if we're talking about comparing this young man to one of the guys of the 80s, I guess I am leaning towards Sugar Ray. I guess I am. It's weird because I don't know. I just don't see him fighting in that era of boxing and being successful. I really don't know. I mean, yeah, being fast and all that he is now. But fighting the guys that are the stronger, bigger guys, I think Floyd has faced a lot of opponents that were supposed to beat him. They were supposed to beat him. They just didn't. They got, you know, defeated. Ricky Hatton being one of those guys, you know, big British import, you know, finishing people. Yeah, a padded record. I believe that's what they call it when you have a lot of fluff cakes on your thing. And Matt was talking about going back and looking at the entire history of what Floyd did and see the caliber of fighters he faced and saying that he doesn't need this fight in order to cement his legacy as a top-tier fighter or the best pound-for-pound fighter because of who he's faced. You know, he might be right, but I still want to see him face Pacquiao. That's the bottom line, because FSP said so, honestly. Hopefully we can get Mac on within the next 5 minutes, so if not, we're going to end the show a little earlier. If you can hear me, Mac, just hang up and call back into the show. Before we go off the air, I'm not sure what's going on, but hopefully we can get this resolved. But, ladies and gentlemen, again, today there's been a bunch of technical difficulties with Blog Talk Radio, either with myself or the service. So we do apologize. I don't know what else to say other than I hope to fix this issue for next week. But right now, we're going to get ready to get out of here because it doesn't look like Mac's going to be able to get back on, and I'm not going to talk to myself for the next 5 minutes. So, with that being said, next Friday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Mac Williams with his original co-host, Jerry Taylor, will bring to you the master plan. Yes, not the master plan, I'm sorry. No Chaser. I'm tired, ladies and gentlemen, I am. I've been working hard all day. But No Chaser. 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here on Blog Talk Radio, brought to you by Trinity Solutions.
if you have any web design or web aspirations, find Trinity Solutions on the web to help you design your page. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time to get off the air. I appreciate you. We will see you next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. We're out.